Let the church say amen.
Amen.
That was wonderful singing this morning. Everybody sound like they pitched in this morning.
Amen.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
God is good.
All
and all the time God is good. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for lifting us up out of our bed of sleep, giving us the ability and the opportunity to come from our house to your house. We're so thankful this morning that you have blessed us and kept us here for this another opportunity to praise thy name. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation here, this local congregation and its leadership. We pray for the membership. We pray for all of those who are in the house, in the audience of the household of faith this morning. We're just so thankful, Lord, that you have blessed us and stretched out our lives to reach this point. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray for all those who are grieving, all those who have lost loved ones. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that your will might be done in their lives as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus, down to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that you have given us this opportunity to praise thy name once again, O Lord. Thank you, Father. And Father, as we come before the mighty footstool of thy mighty throne, we come to say thank you for giving us this opportunity. Father, we pray for all of those who serve our needs on a daily basis. We pray for the doctors, the policemen, the firemen, all of those people who we might have an opportunity to call upon. We pray that they're there when we call upon them, O Lord. Father, we pray and ask you and thank you for Jesus Christ, because without his sacrifice, we would not be here today, O Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Father, I pray for the servicemen and women all over the world who are standing guard to protect us. Father, we had an incident this past week, and we need to pray for those people over there as well who are doing all the wrong things that appears that they are. We thank you, Lord, and we pray and thank you so much for all you do for us. Father, now as we move into the next portion of these services, we pray and ask you that you go with us and watch over and keep us while we try to speak your word, O Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. From Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." We want to talk for a few minutes about God can. God is alive and doing well, despite the effort of some who would try to destroy him. His book has been discredited. His name has been dragged through the mud. His commandments have been disobeyed. References to his name have been removed from our school, as well as praying to him in schools. Sometimes we may tend to question God's ability. We wonder if God can do all that he said he can do. His word claims. Even Christians may sometimes ask, what if God can't do this or that? What happens if he can't? If God can't, who then can? Well, the Bible gives us the answer in Luke 18, starting at verse 27. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. God can keep all of his promises. We are all familiar with people who run for public office, how they make many promises, how they make so many promises it would be impossible for them to keep all of the things that they promise. In the business world, deals are made that are unreal, and we soon find out that they are not as originally stated. If an I is not dotted and a T is not crossed, as promised, we all know it's what's in the contract that we must live by, not by word of mouth. People marry and pledge till death do us part, but the vows are often broken. And the marriage many times ends up in divorce court. God has made thousands of promises in his word, and I want you to hear this, not one has ever been broken. This is why we need to take his word as serious business. Watch Romans chapter 4 and verse number 21. Paul wrote, "And being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he was able to perform." No matter how impossible it may seem, God is able to do what he says he can do. God is able to keep all of his promises. We can trust God to keep his promises. He never made a promise that he can't keep, because according to Titus 1 and 2, God cannot lie. When he tells us that he is coming back, the only thing we should be doing is preparing for his arrival, not wondering or thinking about whether he really meant it or not. Nor should we be concerned about whether or not I can get around his coming. The answer is emphatically no. You can't get around his coming. He is coming back, and he's not going to ask any of us for our permission. Permission has already been granted, and he is coming back. God can make all grace abound toward us. The first thing we should think about is what is grace? It means God doing something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. It was grace that awakened us this morning. It was not us that did it. We did not wake up because we are so good looking. Instead, it was by God's grace. This is another reason we need to pray before we go to sleep as well as when we wake up. Thinking about God, thanking God for his grace and allowing us to go through sleep as well as the wake-up call. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now this text speaks to us in reference of the generosity of our giving back to him. God has and does give so much, we need to trust in his goodness. We certainly have no reason to question his power. And when we do so, the text tells us he is able to make all grace abound toward us. I know, church, that God has all power in his hands. His grace and his mercy has caused us to have a life to become a spiritual wreck. If life has caused us to become a spiritual wreck, he can cause us to be restored and become useful again, or for the first time. You know how some people have made their lives have become wrecks? Their lives have become so messed up, they can't see a way out of it, but God can. See, God looks at things from the beginning to the end. We look at things in the moment. But God can fix it. God can save all sinners. This is what we as individuals need to be understand. God can save us no matter what we find ourselves in life. It's good to know that God does not want to see any of us lost. In Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come into God, that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The word of God is plain and simple. It's plain and simple for all of us to understand that anyone who is willing can be saved through Jesus Christ. Any who will come to God by his Son can be saved. So the question might become, what is a sinner? A sinner is one who misses the mark. It is the fallen condition of man. How are we to be sure God can offer us safety? Well, in Romans 5:8, the Bible says, God commended his love toward us, that's all men, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let us understand what we got, how we got to this point, if you will. Go back with me to John 3:16. It was because of the greatest love story ever written and performed. It was the greatest and most fantastic devotion of love and sacrifice ever offered to mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus brought light into this dark world. And sometimes I wanted to know the answer to it, so I said, why? Because that deeds of men were evil. That's why the world was dark, just like they are now. God can save all who will come to him. We hear it each and every Sunday morning, but I'm going to repeat it again so that there be no confusion. There will be those who shall stand before the Lord on the day and on that day and say, Lord, I didn't know. Lord, I didn't know how to come to thee, so I'm going to tell you. One comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing in Christ, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. By repentance, repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Confess your fault, Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And finally be baptized, again, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. These are the steps one make in order to be saved. And I just want to tell you something. I tell you this often, but I'm going to tell you again. If my name is called when we get up there, if my name is called before yours, I'll say, Lord, I try to tell them. I told them. I try to teach them while they were yet living to teach on salvation. God can save us, church, but we must want to be saved. We must be faithful to him and follow his will for our lives. Remember the words of Jesus in 26 Matthew and 39. And while he was in Gethsemane, where he asked the Father, if it be your will, if it be possible and it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Not my will as I will, but thy will. It will be a tragic event on that day if to stand before the Lord unsaved. God can do it, church. If we make some effort to him, God can do it. Go back with me to the text in verse 20 of Ephesians 3. And the Bible says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now what is God, what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying God can do it. God can do it. I don't know how you may feel about what you can do, but God can do it all. God can do it all, church. And just as I said, if I get my name is called before yours, I'll just make a recommendation for you, but that's far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to be trying to teach you up there or down there, wherever the case may be. I'm simply going to say to you, I tried to teach you while we were here alive. And if your name is called before my name is called and you stand before him, you tell him, you put in a good word that he tried to teach me, but I wouldn't listen. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. You better get ready and get right now. You know, there's a song that they sing in some churches, let's get right, church, and go home. Well, we need to do that. We need to follow those words. Let's get right, church, and go home. Now, I know that many of us are concerned about the future. We plan vacations. We plan to save money. We plan to buy new cars and new clothes. But how many are planning for death? Because death is coming. You know, one day, and for some of us it might not be that long, someday, one day you're going to be laid out and wheeled into somebody's funeral home or somebody's church. And there are going to be people who are going to say words over you. And there are going to be people who stand up and talk about you. But nevertheless, it's too late to get ready then. You should have been ready before that point in time came. Because God is real, church. And he is definitely coming back. He can do that, church. He can do all things. With God, all things are possible. So if just in case you didn't hear me in the first time around, I'll say it again. If you get there and your name is called before my name, put in a good word for me. But don't spend a lot of time on me now. Because you're going to have to be answering for yourself, just like I'm going to have to be answering for myself. And you let the Lord know that Brother Carter did his best while I was there. But the thing that I want you to understand is that everybody is going to stand on his own record. So you're preparing your record right now. So you need to make sure that you are ready. Because whether you're ready or not, the time shall come. And when you get rolled or wheeled into the church or the funeral home, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that you can do. There won't be any time to prepare then. Time is up. The ball has already dropped. The rubber has met the road. However you want to put it, it's too late. And then, when I consider all the words of God and all the promises God has made, they're into the thousands in the Bible, I believe, that God has promised all kinds of things, and I never seen his promises fail, and I never shall see his promises fail. So the only thing I can tell you is that if he promised Jesus shall return, you better trust in it because he shall return. If you want to know something about God's word, pull out your Bible and study it a little bit more. Stop allowing it to be a dust collector on your living room table. Stop allowing it to just be there when you want to point it out to some company who comes in your house. See, I read the Bible. That's not what the Bible is for you to just read it. It's for you to study. It's for you to know what God's will is for your life. And that the Bible is the only book that can give instruction from life to death and beyond. God's will shall be done. He is able to exceeding, who is able to, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is willing and ready, church. Are we? Are you ready? I wonder how many of us are ready. You remember Hezekiah in the Bible? How when Hezekiah's time came, he wasn't quite ready. He faced the wall and began to pray and ask God about, "Do you remember, Lord, all the things that I did for you? How I did this and I did that?" Well, the Lord granted Hezekiah a little bit more time. I believe it was 15 years more time. So all I'm saying is you better get ready, because you may not have the same opportunity as Hezekiah. You see, we've got to live and live righteously if we want to get to heaven. Now, getting to heaven is not a hard thing to do. It just requires some discipline on our part. It requires that we be obedient to the word of God. It requires that we be saved. It requires that we be faithful to him and follow his will for our lives. And let me just put a dispel, a myth to you. You know how every so often you see one of these pictures on in a book or something where it's showing the devil in a red suit with a pitchfork? Uh-uh. He's in this church right now. And I don't see nobody in a red suit. And I don't see anybody holding up a pitchfork. What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this, that it looks like you and I. He can disguise himself to be whatever he wants to be, and he'll catch you at your weakest point, and he'll work on you. And when he works on you, if you're weak enough, he will win. He will take you over. And he'll give you all those promises and all those things that you ask for, that you've been asking for. He can give them to you. He can give them to you just to make you come to his side. And once he got you, he's got you. That's why you hear some people say, "Oh, the devil, I don't worry about him. I ain't worried about him." Well, you know why? Because he's already got you. See, what you have to worry about is him not getting you. And if he doesn't get you, then you're still standing in a good position with God if you don't allow him to take you over. But I just like the word of God because it's so full of everything we need to know about getting from earth to glory. It tells us everything we need to know. And when I say that, one day when somebody wheels you into the church or into the funeral home, well, that day is going to come. And I've seen so many people who are not ready for that day to come. I don't know of anybody who's quite ready for that day to come. If I took a survey right now and asked how many of you are ready to go, I bet I wouldn't get any hands raised. You know why? Because living in this old evil world, we still rather be here than not. Living in this old evil world is not a good place to be, but we still want to be in it. Living in this old evil world is not the best place, but we still want to be in it. Living in this old evil world is a place where there's darkness. We're surrounded by darkness. And the only light in this dark world is Christ. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you need to come to the Lord before it's everlastingly too late. I don't care what you got planned. You can have a vacation plan. I'm going on the vacation of my life next year. I'm going to take a 7-day cruise. Well, that's a lot of water to drink if you're not ready for it. I'm going somewhere I've never been, but I always wanted to go in my life. I'm going to XXX. Well, wherever XXX is, you need to get right with the master first. And I always ask people that I know when they tell me they're going on vacation, I usually ask them, did you scope out the church yet? Well, I'll find one once I get there. But what if you can't find it once you get there? You ought to find it before you leave here, before you get there. And once you get there, then you'll know where you're going on Sunday morning. You'll know where you're going, because it would be a cruel thing if God, Jesus came back and came to the church and you weren't in it. Come on, I'm going to find it when I get there. Find it before you go. And I know a lot of people like to take cruises. I mentioned cruise a few minutes ago. A lot of people like to take cruises. They tell me how nice they are, but I don't know. I'm not quite ready for one yet. I'm not quite ready to be out there on all that water, and if that boat sinks, where can I go? I can't call anybody and say, come pick me up, because they can't drive out on the water. I can't call for somebody to meet me at the next port, because I don't know if I'm going to make it to the next port. What are you saying? I'm simply saying, when you're planning for life's enjoyment, also plan for life's death. Because death is coming. Death is a part of life. And I know people like to do romantic things. Husbands and wives like to do romantic things, so they take this cruise. And when they take this cruise, they need to be ready to make sure that God is cruising with them. Yeah, that's exactly right, Brother Lowe. Don't leave home without him. Don't leave home without him. And I know that there are some people who like to go over the ocean and go overseas into the other side of the world. You definitely need to take him with you if you're going there. You definitely need to seek Jesus before you go. What if you get over there and you have an emergency? And you know what I always like to tell you about an emergency? They don't let you know they're coming. Emergencies just pop up. They, when you answer the door, there's emergency standing there already. And you've got to be able to deal with it and prepare. You can't prepare for him once he gets there. You need to prepare before he gets there, but you never know when he's coming. So you got to keep God in your life. And to all of those who are considering that vacation of a lifetime, go on that vacation if you want it, but make sure you got God with you. If you're driving, ask him to be the co-pilot. If you're flying, be like me. When you get in that airplane, you look up in the front compartment there. You want to see who's flying that plane, Brother Green. You need to know when you get back to your seat who you're going to pray for. Pray for that man or that woman up there in the cockpit. You know, Lord, I want him to get me off the ground, but I want him to keep me up above the ground till I get ready, till he gets ready to bring me down. And then, Lord, I want you to bring me down safely and securely. Touch down with no problem. I don't want you to run into no other airplane while you're crossing the runway. I don't want you to run into no other trouble. Just, Lord, just stay with him. Have him to fly me safely and securely. Lord, I'm getting close to heaven up there when I'm up there in the air, and I want to know that I'm protected while I'm up there. So when you get up there and you get ready to get up there, you need to consider to take God with you. God doesn't need a vacation like we need vacations. But you ask him to go with you anyhow. You ask him to take, Lord, be with me while I'm up there. And get me down safely so I can be back down on the ground. That's what it's all about. Learning to know your God and learning to allow God to be with you throughout all your ordeals. And if you're like me, you'd probably rather stay on the ground. So you ask him to keep me safe while I'm on the ground as well. And don't worry about if God knows the territory and where you're going. God has already been there before. He's already been there because he made it. He made wherever it is that you're going, and he's abundantly able. God can do it, church. God can, church. He can fix it. He can make the crooked path straight. He can make a way out of no way. Didn't he do it for the Israelites? He made them a super expressway through the Red Sea. Didn't he do it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yes, he did. Didn't he do it for Daniel while Daniel was in the lion's den? Didn't he do it, church? That's all the references you need, what's in God's Bible. He's left us all the references we needed if we want to get some references on him. It's already in the Bible. And I'm about to take my seat. I know that this day is a kind of a miserable day, but you know what? You ought to be thankful that God allowed you to share in this day. Because you could have been gone. We're even with the rainy weather, and I know most people like to sleep in this rainy weather. I'm so glad that you came out this morning and didn't stay home and sleep. But I love the Lord because he first loved me. And God is still working with me. I'm not perfect. And neither are you. But so let God continue his work within you. I've already given you the steps to come to Christ. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you've already taken those steps somewhere earlier in your life, but somewhere you went astray, you need to come back home. Just like the prodigal son came back home, you need to come back home. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.